All right, good morning. Welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Good to see everybody this morning. We'll go ahead and get started. Go ahead and find your seats, get situated, and pull out your hymnals. We'll open to our first song. It'll be song number 404. Be song number 404, When the Battle's Over. Song number 404. If you look there at that first section, it's numbered 1, 2, and 3. In parentheses, we sing those first two lines for the first stanza. So that's how this song goes. But we'll go ahead and start there on the first. Sing nice and loud. Am I a soldier of the cross a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Amen. Brother Mo, you want to pray for us this morning? Amen. All right, go ahead and flip in your hymnals to song number 44. Song number 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Number 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. We'll start there on the first.
Oh, land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Amen. Great singing this morning. We'll go ahead and go over the announcements. So go ahead and pull out your bulletins. If you didn't grab one on the way in, just raise your hand in the air. We have Brother Brandon and Brother Samson. They'll bring one to you. And on the very front page, we do have our Bible memory verse and passage. We are still in Romans chapter number 8, and we are in verse number 27 for this week. So definitely keep working on that. If you can, quote the entire chapter, Romans 8, word perfect to a non-family member. You will receive a prize there at the end of that. And another reminder for the children, if you can memorize this verse by the next midweek service, we'll have an ice cream treat for you. And if you open up the bulletins, we have our service times listed on the top left. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. We also have our soul-winning times with the respective leaders listed there. And our stats, we have 468 salvations and 3 baptisms. So congratulations to all those that got baptized here recently. Do we have any salvations to report from Friday? Anybody Friday? Saturday? Is that on Saturday? Two total? Okay. Anybody else? You had one? Amen. All right. Did I miss anybody? All right, good deal. So good job, soul winning. They're on the next page. We do have an expecting lady in the church. We have Miss Sarah Gomez. She's having a boy at the beginning of December, so be in prayer for them that everything, you know, goes well and everybody stays healthy. Some upcoming guest preachers. Today, September 12th, we have Brother Chris Agura back with us. We need to get him a house here, right? He's here so often. Definitely thank him for coming down. It's a blessing having him and his family. And he brought two of his boys, so meet them. September 26th, we have Pastor Jonathan Shelley. He was cool enough to make the list. All right, so that is for the anniversary. October 3rd, we have Pastor Aaron Thompson from Sure Foundation Baptist Church. He'll be preaching both sermons for us that Sunday. So definitely thank Pastor Aaron Thompson. Thank Brother Chris Segura and all the brothers that preach for doing that. Some upcoming events. Here in 2 weeks, we do have our Pure Words Baptist Church anniversary. That Saturday, we are having a soul-winning marathon. It's going to be the same. We're going to organize it the same way. We're going to meet here at the church. Breakfast will be provided. We'll go out for a round of soul-winning. We'll meet back here at the church. Lunch will be provided, and then we'll do a second round of soul-winning. And then after that second round of soul-winning, we are going to go around back, and we're going to do our annual false Bible burning. All right, so it's definitely be a good time, good fellowship. I foresee it going to be a huge fire. All right, we're also going to have a separate fire for s'mores and hot dogs and things like that. So definitely write that on your calendar. It'll be a good time, fellowship. And that following Sunday is the 26th, and Pastor Shelley will be preaching both sermons on Sunday for us. Wednesday, October 6th through Sunday, October 10th. Is the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship up at Steadfast Baptist Church. So again, they're going to have a great lineup of preachers, a lot of different events going on. So definitely write that on your calendar. And Sunday, October 31st, which is Halloween, all right, we're going to be having our annual chili cook-off here at the church after that evening service. It's going to be Texas style, all right? So as we all know, if you want to enter your chili in, no beans, okay? If you want beans, hey, have them on the side. You could add them yourself. But that's taking place October 31st. For the Thanksgiving service, November 23rd, that's going to be on a Tuesday, okay? So there's going to be no service that Thursday the 25th. So just keep in mind that midweek service is going to move from Thursday to Tuesday, and that's going to be the Thanksgiving service. And then in December 23rd, which is a Thursday, we are going to have our Christmas candlelight service. So that is the announcements for the morning. And lastly, I just want to say, if you do have any prayer requests, email those into the church at purewordsbaptist@gmail.com. We'll be in prayer for anything that you might need. And just definitely be in prayer for everybody that's sick or that's out sick or that's healing, that just had a procedure done. I know Brother Cameron's healing from his surgery, so just be in prayer for him. But just email those prayers in, and we'll be in prayer for each other. All right, let's go ahead and go to our third song. So go ahead and pull out your hymnals and turn to song number 65. Song number 65, Just Over in the Glory Land. Song number 65, Just Over in the Glory Land. We'll start there on the first. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with a mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land. And with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there'll be one, the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. With the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing. Just over in the glory land. Let hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There
there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
Amen. So at this time, you go ahead and pull out your Bibles and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll have Brother Samson read for us, and we'll go ahead and pass the offering plate.
All right, amen. We are here again. As always, we're going to read this chapter together. So if you will, find your places. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Follow along with me. We'll start here in verse 1 where the Bible reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which ye also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope is of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despised even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, to pass by you in Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers in your joy, for by faith we stand.
Bow your head for a quick word of prayer. Much thanks for gathering us here, gathered again to share this time of worship and to give you all praise, honor, and glory. Please again fill Brother Secure with your spirit, fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that you may teach us some word from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and that we may take it and apply it in our lives. We do this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Well, I want to start out by saying thank you for coming this morning. And I was asked, hey, how was your trip? Was it as bad as last time? I mean, I don't think it was that bad. No, it was pretty good. It wasn't that bad, I would say. We got here about 12 o'clock last night. Actually, 11:30. By the time we left the airport, it was about 12. By the time we got to our hotel, it was around 12:30. By the time I got my key, it was about 1 a.m.
And by the time I got woken up at 1:30, it wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. But apparently my car didn't go through. The lady's ringing. I'm like, who is calling me? Is this my wife? Making sure I'm fine. Pick up. Hey, it's me at the counter. Sorry, your car didn't come through. Can you come give me your card? I'm like, sure, no problem. Go over there, give her the card. And she's like, did I mess up your sleep? No, but you messed up my dinner. I was eating Starburst because that's all I could eat at that time. It was just Starburst and Funyuns. Right, boys? Greatest dinner ever, right? We're just planning to go to the IHOP because the IHOP was right outside the hotel. But this time I got a different hotel. I got the hotel right next to the hotel from last time. Ha! What a difference a few feet make. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, this is the chapter where Paul is comforting the Corinthians. And so he's comforting the Corinthians by reminding them that God is the God of all comfort. Amen? And that's the title of the sermon, The God of All Comfort. Now, the first sermon I've ever heard preached on the God of all comfort was probably about 10 years ago. It was at a preaching class that I just didn't even want to go to. But I felt like, you know what, I need to show some support as a member, even though I don't plan to be a preacher or anything like that. I'm going to just show up because it is what it is. It's great to have people there, you know, at least for the first couple of weeks to show some support. Somebody got up there and his sermon was the God of all comfort. And I can tell you right now, I don't remember anything the guy said, not a single thing. All I remember is that he said, that God of all comfort. And that just woke me up like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? That's right. I need some comforting right now because I was going through a time that wasn't so great. And I was like, you know what? God is the God of all comfort. And what I mean by comfort, comfort just means to cheer up. Another word for comfort is consolation. And we'll see really quickly. Look down at your Bibles and look at verse number 4. Ready to start verse 3 that says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Hey, some people are wondering, are we about to hit the tribulation? This whole corona thing is driving me nuts. These mandatory vaccines now, what's the deal? Is that kind of like a test to see if we're going to cower down and whatever? It's like, look, man, chill. No matter what happens, if the tribulation kicks off or whatever down the road, hey, be of good cheer. God will comfort us. Amen. But there is a catch, and we'll get to that later. It's not a done deal, but it's basically a done deal for this crowd, and I'll explain why in a second. But comfort, what exactly is comfort? Like I said, the easiest way to explain it is just to cheer up. If I wanted to comfort my kids, maybe, I mean, they don't go to public schools, but let's just say they did, and they had a bad day, and I see them, they're down, or whatever the case may be, or even a church member, you know, or even biblically, you can see like Joseph, when he was locked up, you know, with the cupbearer, and I forgot the other guy that basically Pharaoh threw into jail. He saw that they were down. He's like, yo, what's going on, guys? He's trying to cheer them up. He's trying to comfort them. He's not just being a busybody in other men's affairs, trying to get the gossip like, yo, man, what's going on? You know, how come you guys are all sad? Not because he was nosy, because he cared about them. And he saw they were down. He's like, yo, what's going on, guys? Trying to comfort them, cheer them up. But another word for comfort is consolation. Let's take a look. Verse number 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort. Look how many times this word comes up. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And you wonder why preachers can't wait to preach. It's because they're reading their Bible and they see something that comforts them. And they're like, man, I want to use this Sunday. Because they're being blessed. They're being comforted. And they want to comfort you. And later on we'll see how Paul even says, hey, God has given us Titus, to comfort us. So you're wondering, why should I even go to jail? Why should I even go to church? Because God uses church to comfort you through the man of God, amen? You know, through evangelists, through preachers, through teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. How? By comforting you, by cheering you up. And that's what I'm trying to do. And it's not always going to be a cheerful sermon. Sometimes it needs to be a fearful sermon for the same reasons that Moses said, hey, don't fear, but the purpose of God in the mountain of Sinai causing all those thunderstorms, everything, so you can see that he is not a guy to be joked with. God is not somebody to take lightly. And he says, hey, he's doing this so you can fear and turn from sin, to keep you from sinning. So sometimes we need to preach, you know, sermons that are fearful sermons to get you guys to repent of sin, because that's what causes us to just quit when we get terrified and we don't want to do it anymore because we know the punishment is coming. But this morning's sermon, I didn't get enough sleep. They woke me up at 2 a.m., got up early. I'm 2 hours behind or ahead. I don't even know. But either way, sure enough, The thing that I want you guys to see this morning is that God is a God that's always trying to cheer us up. That's what it means to be the God of all comfort. He knows that this world is filled with sin, tribulation, temptation. And he says, hey, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He wants you to be a cheerful person. Now, there's a time to mourn. We get that. But overall, you know, God wants us to be cheerful people, you know, to let your light so shine among men, because that's what gets them to look towards God. You know, if you're a self-proclaimed Christian and people are seeing you always down, angry, upset, they're like, man, if it ain't working for him, it sure ain't going to help me out. So they're not going to look. You know, you're not going to help somebody build their faith by the way you act. And even our actions can cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord. When we cause sin, do things that we shouldn't do, say things that we shouldn't say, act certain ways that we shouldn't act, you know, but overall, God wants us to be just like him. And if he's the God of all comfort, you know, Christians should be known for being comforters, amen? And not miserable comforters like Joel's friend. That's another story. But it says right here, you know, that by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation. That's another way of saying comfort. He's trying to say it in many ways to say, hey, guys, cheer up. Let me comfort you. Let me cheer you up. And you'll see in a second, because look what it says. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. And if you look up the definition of consolation, guess what's in it? Comfort. So it's interchangeable. You know, here Paul is comforting the Corinthians, and he's doing it in many ways. Hey, I'm here to, you know, to give you consolation, comfort you, help you guys out. And that's what it means, consolation. The definitions or the words that I got to define it is comfort, encourage, cheer up. And it says, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffered. And look at this. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation or of God's comforting. Meaning, hey, we're going to go through tribulation. We're going to go through temptations. Yes, it's going to get harder and harder as it gets nearer towards the end. But he says, be of good cheer. God's there. He's there to comfort you. He's not going to tempt you above that which you are able. So it's not like we're going to fail guaranteed. Hey, we're all going to fail. No, sometimes we will fail. But hey, it's God's will for us to fail, to maybe humble us and rely on him a little bit more or pray a little bit more, whatever the case may be. We're not always going to have success, and that's God's will for our lives. Why? Because if we always have success, we're going to become spoiled. You know, you have to kind of learn how to lose a little bit to become a good leader. So you can feel people's pain when they lose, when they're not succeeding as well. You can comfort them and say, look, I've gone through the same thing. You know, I've gone through the trials. I know what it's like to mess up your finances. I know what it's like not to be the perfect husband. I know what it's like not to be the best dad on the planet. I get it. I know what you're going through, but stick with it. Hey, you'll see. Keep reading. Keep growing. God will bless you with the wisdom to become that man you want to be. So once you are that man that you like and that man that you want to be, that person you admire, you can help other people to do the same thing. Help other people to grow as well. Not just, oh, wow, I'm great now. You know, you should see how I was back then. But now, now help others to be what you obviously are now, and that's a faithful person. You know, a great leader, a great example, a good role model. You know, but if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Peter 1:16. While you go to 2 Peter 1:16, I'm just going to read a few verses that motivate me, that comfort me. Psalms 3:6 says this, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's a great title for a sermon. Shall I see God? Hey, maybe we can preach it later, brother. He's like, yeah, it is. Well, great. Now you got to preach it. To him they know to the good, and to the not to him it is. Damn. Psalms 4:3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. I like this part. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. What do you see with Psalms 3:6, Job 19:25, Job 19:25 through 26, and Psalms 4:3? You see boldness. Boldness. People that are sure of themselves. Almost to the point people say, oh, you're just cocky or whatever. But he says, hey, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves around me. Yesterday, the flight was half full. Half full. And I usually kind of get nervous when I take my kids and I want to get the early bird or whatever. I kind of want to see where I'm at as far as my number, because Southwest, who flies Southwest? You know how they do it. They don't assign seats, but they assign groups. You know, your group A, B, or C. And I didn't know that you could actually increase your chances of a better group by checking in early. I'll always be D, you know, if there is such a D. And I'm always wondering, how do these people get A? How do they get B? I'm always C. I'm always D. When I check in, it's like right before, an hour before I fly out. And I'm always stuck in the middle. Like, what is going on? Huh? And I'm almost like backing down. Like, how'd you get A, bro? You know, how'd you get B? How are you so lucky to get C? Then I realize you got to check in right away. You know, so if you happen to get A or B, you're pretty much going to sit with the group that you're with. But I get a little nervous sometimes when I see B. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. And so I was trying to see if it's worth upgrading. And so I told the lady, yeah, I'm with my kids. You know, should I upgrade? She's like, let me check. No, you're wasting your money. It's only half full. You know, it can fit 150 people. It's like 75. There's going to be a lot of seats that are empty. I'm like, good. You're employee of the year, you know, for not ripping me off. You know, because I was willing just because I'm nervous. You know, I want to keep my kids with me or whatever the case may be. But, gee, I wonder if it has to do with the fact that yesterday was September 11th, the 20th anniversary. I wonder if people were thinking, oh, man, is the government going to blow this plane up or whatever, you know? But you know what I said? I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. And, yes, I did kind of mess with my son Luke over there. It's like, hey, the Taliban may get us September 11th, you know? And he's like, really, Dad? Really? He's trying to trade off with his brothers. Hey, why don't you go this time? And I'll go next time. Don't worry, Loki. I know you're a little embarrassed, but that's all right. But I was like, Loki, it wasn't even the Taliban, man. It wasn't even Al-Qaeda. You know, I got two words, three syllables, Building 7. Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. But we are woke in this church, ain't we?
Yeah,
I'm talking about. So what do you see in these verses? You see people that are bold, people that assure themselves. So how does God comfort us? Well, one way he comforts us is by giving us assurance. You're right there in 2 Peter 1:6. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And how sad is that? Let me just talk about that for a minute. Cunningly devised fables. I mean, that's Mormonism right there. That's Islam right there. And every other false religion. I went soul winning the other day. And this lady comes out, and it's a purple door, and I didn't even notice it. I don't know why. She just opens the door, and we're like, hey, we're from Faith Forward Baptist, just inviting families to our service. Do you guys go to church anywhere? She's like, you see my door? I'm like, yeah? You know, what color is it? I'm like, purple? Who's ever had that happen at their door? That's what I thought. Because I'm confused like a termite in a yo-yo. I'm just like, what? What does your purple door have to do with anything? She's like, I'm a witch. I was like, you are? Yeah, I'm a witch. I'm like, okay. But if you die right now, you're 100% sure you're dying. You witch? No, I'm just kidding. And she's like, I already know. So what do you know? She's like, you ever been to a Baptist church? I have. You have? Yeah, my previous life. She's like, previous life? I was like, yeah, I've had 200 of them. 200? And I was just talking to my buddy about marijuana because we're going to work on a... We're going to work on a documentary on marijuana. And one of the side effects of marijuana is psychosis, you know, temporary loss of reality. And obviously this lady's talking to me, and I'm like, nope, don't smell nothing, you know? And I'm just like, well, listen, I know, hold up. You say you've been to a Baptist church in your previous life. I'm just interested. What did they teach you in your previous life you had to do to go to heaven? You're like, I know. What do you know? Because I think that somehow, some way, you're kind of like lying, you know? And I was like, all right. She was just kind of hardcore. She had like a creepy smile, like a Joe Biden smile. You know what I'm talking about? Literally, I'm like, is this Joe Biden's like granddaughter or something? You know, she had that creepy smile. And then my soul winning partner, you know, he's cool as cool can get. Just got off work, you know, so he's a little tired. And she's like, you are having a hard time, you know, explaining yourself. But you... You're scared, I can tell. And he's like, what? Scared? What are you talking about? You know? And I just have to do it. I'm like, ma'am, I just got a question. I'm not trying to mock you, but I got a very, very serious question. I got to know, have you ever smoked marijuana? She's like, no, never. Almost saying it like she's guilty, you know? And I just wanted to tell myself, when partner, darn it, we could have something good for that documentary and be like, look, this is what happens when you smoke weed, kids. But... No matter what, no one can deny that she's following a cunningly devised fable. Her boyfriend, friends, girlfriend, who knows, has convinced her that we've all had previous lives. When the Bible says clearly it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. There's no reincarnation. If there is, it's reincarnation in hell, and that's where you're going to wake up. You know, and yeah, if you come back, you're going to get resurrected just to get thrown right back in, because there's people confused in hell right now. Hello, Lord, Lord. Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done many wonderful works? They're lost in the sauce. They have no clue why they're in hell. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. After he opens up the books and they're judged out of those things that are in the books, and every idle word, everything they've ever said, all the harsh speeches against the Lord that these wicked people have said against him and his people, he's going to rebuke them to their face, and then they're going to know why they're in hell forever and ever, and why they're going to get the greater damnation or whatever damnation they're going to get cast back into hell. And that's not a cunningly devised fable. But that was just a side note. Let's continue. When we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Here you clearly see the Trinity, reprobates. You clearly see the Trinity, one next idiots. You know? But what about this verse? Isaiah 9:6. Shut up with Isaiah 9:6. I can explain that, but this ain't a sermon for that. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They were there. Peter was there. These guys were there. They heard the voice. And that built their faith. God comforted them because they needed it, because then he had all the word of God like we have today. Right. But how does God comfort us? By giving us assurance. How does he do that? By having a voice like we see here and calling upon us and talking to us and saying, that is my beloved church and who I am well pleased. That's not how he's going to do it. But he's going to assure us, give us assurance in a more better way. Look, keep reading right there, verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So, of course, God's word was spoken in that moment when Christ was baptized, loud and proud. This is my beloved Son. He didn't say, this is me. This is my beloved body that I created, who I possess, and I'm actually the Father in this body, but I'm going to call myself the Son. If you're confused, that's his confusing one. It's his. You're like, what are you talking about? Exactly my point. Trying to explain oneness is confusing as confusing can get. But we got clear scriptures, and it says, hey, we have a more sure, assurance, same thing. Word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And that should motivate you. That should get you inspired. That should make you happy. That should bring cheerfulness in your heart that we have God's word when a lot of people don't. A lot of countries, you know, they don't have the entire thing. But we do. On our phones, right here in front of our faces, anytime we want, we can go to the order it from Amazon, get whatever we want. I ordered this from Amazon. Awesome Bible. It has titles like crazy. I hope you kind of know what you're reading. You know, if you're new, I'll pick it up. It's not a commentary whatsoever. It just has titles that are kind of, in my opinion, pretty accurate. You know, but praise the Lord, he gives us assurance. And how do we get it? Through his word. Go to John 14. Go to John 14. Well, you go to John 14. Meet me in John 14, 1. I'm going to read from Psalms 23, 4. And it says this, yay! Sound familiar? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yeah, I thought about it. What if this plane does go down? What if the government wants another September 11th? You know, the vaccines ain't enough. They want to blow another plane up or whatever. Or what if they do something stupid at an airport and they ground us? And I might have just kind of started to fret a little bit when my flight was at 6:15 and I get a text message saying it's delayed. 7:15, I'm like, over what? Like a bomb threat or something stupid? I'm like, at this point, hey, if I can't make it, that's all in God's hands. So hopefully, you know, I can make it, so it doesn't put the pressure on you to preach, my friend. You know? Or anybody. It's like, all right, brother, we got to draw straws, Brother Sam. You know, so now, hey, it is what it is. It's all good. I flew on September 11th. I didn't care. Seems like a lot of people did because, yeah, I've been on planes empty, but not like that. Or maybe, maybe not. But I'm pretty sure that that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't fly. Because they didn't know what was going to happen. You know, you saw what happened in Afghanistan. It's funny because we started with an explosion and we ended with an explosion in Afghanistan. Why? Because we didn't do it God's way. God wasn't in that war. He never was. And he never will be when these wars are fought for money and power. That's all it's about. You know, so I'm sorry, but that war was lost. I'm sorry, but they had it won. In less than 3 weeks, they lost it. The enemy that we've been fighting for so long. All these Hollywood movies talk about how bad the Taliban is and how great we're kicking their butts and how much we're defeating them and how much, you know, firepower and whatever we have against them. They just took over the country and then some. Because unless the Lord, you know, unless he's the one guarding the house, hey, the watchman basically gets up, but in vain. And so that's what ended up happening. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. You're like, man, I'm a nervous dude. What do? Get into the word. It'll give you comfort. Amen. Get your butt to church. The purpose of the pastor is to comfort you. And we'll see that in a sec. You know, but it says in Psalms 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God will give you comfort. He will give you assurance. Because that's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be bold. He doesn't want us to be scared. He doesn't want us to fear. How do we know? Look at John 14. This is a commandment, by the way. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't something. This isn't a tip on how to live your best life. This is a commandment. He's saying, let not your heart be troubled, fearful, whatever you want to call it. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There one is people. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And where there I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know. You know, I'm sorry. Thomas saith unto him, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. See, there you go. There you go. There's one. It's right there. Ha, ha, ha. Brother, girl, you're an idiot. You know what you're talking about. Well, keep reading. Keep reading. You know, it's like right there. He says he's the Father. No, he does not. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus says unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou known me, Philip? There you go, brother, girl. He just proved himself right there. Jesus just claimed that he's the Father. Keep reading. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Not that I am the Father. I am in the Father. How is that possible? It's called a miracle. It's called the Spirit. I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak of myself. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Making it clear, they're not the same person. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. That's just some bonus. He's going on to his Father. He's not going on to himself. And whatsoever you ask, look at the confidence. Look at the boldness. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another who? Comforter. Comforter. So who's the comforter? Holy Spirit in this section. The God of all comfort. Obviously, Jesus Christ. If we know our Bibles, he is God. Thomas made it very clear. My Lord and my God. Obviously, he should be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And who was the one that became flesh? That was Christ. There is clearly a Trinity, even from Genesis. Let us make man in our own image. Oh, he's talking to the angels. Okay, keep reading. So then God made man in his own image. Not in their own image, in his own image. So no, he was not talking to the angels in chapter number 1. And people knew that. Hey, Psalms 2, the Son, right? Here's the Son, lest he be angry. In Proverbs, what is his name? What is his Son's name? Isn't that what the Bible says? They knew there was a Son. And obviously Psalms 2, we know that it's referring to Christ because the New Testament makes it very clear. That song's referring to Jesus, who said, I came down from heaven. Not I was created here on earth. It says, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the one of him that sent me. And I have to say to the one, sorry, it's a quick oneness commercial. What part of sent don't they understand? You know, I thought they were weird, but then when I figured out, they actually believed that Jesus Christ was created. He was created. And that the Father possessed that body. And that body was just a man, the man Christ Jesus. When he made it very clear, he said, Father, in John 17, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. It's crazy to believe in oneness. It's as dumb as believing in the flat earth, isn't it? It's just a fact. We just got to rip on that just because I think it's kind of dying now, now that all these billionaires are going into space and flying in space. But that's all CG. We're going back. Hey, God will comfort you. It says very clearly, if you pray, he will do it. So we don't have to wonder, will God answer me? Yes, he will. He may not answer you according to what you're asking if you ask amiss, but if you're asking, he will answer every prayer. If, like the Bible says, you don't have iniquity in your heart. With a pure heart, you pray, even if you pray wrong, it's better than not praying at all. But if you don't have a pure heart, and you do pray, and it is something that you need, but you don't have a pure heart, what does the Bible say? If I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He won't, even if you pray right. But if you pray wrong, but you have a pure heart, the Lord will fix it. He'll make sure that you get what you need. So praying for that Ferrari, it's like, no, Lord, a Ford. There you go. Get him a Ford Escort. But the Bible makes it very clear. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. So what does it mean to comfort? It means to cheer up. So if you're not a cheered up person, hey, get cheered up. First thing you should do, first step, is start looking at the scriptures. And start with the chapters that we read so you can see that God wants you to be a cheerful person. That's what we're reading, John 14. Let's go to verse 20. And that they should know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's the same way that Jesus and the Father are in each other. It's spiritual. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest to him. Let's go to verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and it's Jesus Christ, and it's the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart, look how it starts out. It starts out with talking about don't let your heart be troubled, and towards the end, he says it again. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go to Acts 4:1. Go to Acts 4:1. So what's the one way that God, or one way God's going to give you comfort is through his word. How? Because his word is a more sure word of prophecy. It's going to give you assurance, especially when it comes to death. How many times do you ask people, if you die right now, I'm pretty sure. You guys remember your pretty sure days? Weren't they horrible days before we got saved? Weren't they miserable days? Not having any comfort, knowing what would happen if your loved one died, not really knowing what would happen if you died. You're thinking, I'm pretty good, but I don't know. It's not a good place to be. It's not. This is what we preach hard against Pentecostal one. This is what we preach hard against repent of your sins. This is what we preach hard and make it very clear that salvation is easy. But then it's easy believism. You guys make it too easy. Too easy. We make it free. That's just how easy it is to be saved. Why? Because if we allow people to come in and talk that way, hey, that's when confusion is going to kick in. You got to repent of your sins. Well, when I first heard that, guess what's the first thing I said? Well, I didn't repent of my sins. I didn't do that. You know, I got saved on a Monday. I was back in the Marine Corps on a Friday. And sure enough, it was for 2 more years. Did 4 years active duty, discharged, recalled back for the stupid Iraq invasion. And then sure enough, guess what? 2 years later, after I got saved, that's when I went to church. I didn't know anything. I just knew salvation was a gift of God. And that gave me comfort. I'm telling you, it gave me comfort. If there was one verse that I had in my heart, it was Romans 6:23, and it was just half of it. The gift of God is eternal life. I forgot it said through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just walked away remembering that. Because I'm like, man, I got the gift. And death was not the same. It wasn't anymore. Now it was like, hey, something happens over here, I get a bullet in my head. Boom, I know where I'm going. And I did my best to witness because it was just coming out of me. My witnessing was just asking people, hey, what do you believe it takes to go to heaven? What do you think you have to do? Well, I need to repent. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Okay, well, whatever. You know? Talk to another guy. Hey, I heard you're a Christian. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Well, you believe in your heart Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says you're saved. I'm like, hey, man, that's what I believe. But eternal life is a gift? Absolutely, a gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's right. Amen, brother. Shoo. That's how my testimony basically went. Because I didn't know anything. I didn't read the Bible for 2 years, not a single verse. You know? But I knew eternal life was the gift. And that gave me comfort. That gave me comfort. So I know that this is true. You're like, man, I need a little bit of cheering up. Well, get into the Word of God. It'll comfort you. It'll cheer you up. Read Psalms 34. You'll find out real quick that God, he is there. You know, he has always been there. But how else does God comfort us? Let me just quickly read Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Man, lions, when they're bold, they're bold. You know, they'll go after elephants. When they're bold, they're bold. And when they roar, it is scary. Right, boys? Remember the zoo? I mean, we were near the lions, and they're just kind of sleeping, looking all bummish, you know? And we're like, man, I want to see them walk. And we're just kind of walking away. I guess one woke up, and he let the world know he was up. Remember that? We're like, oh, man. Like a scene from Jurassic Park. It was scarier than that. I can't do a line. I'm sorry. You're like, what the heck was that? I don't know. Me puking? That's what it sounded like. Were you hurling or mimicking a lion? Both. Failed the attempt. But lions are bold, man. They're scary animals. When they go crazy, they go crazy, you know? But here's the deal. You're right there. In Acts chapter number 4, let's look at some spiritual lions, amen? It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. So here we got some Christians being arrested until the next day. For what? For preaching. Preaching Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand before here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. And this is how you respond to people. That which is like, hey, I'm sure you believe that, but here's what the Bible says. There's no salvation. We all need salvation, which, you know, bottom line, you know, you're not going to get resurrected again and again and again. You know, your purple door ain't going to help you one bit. She never explained the color. She told him, my door is purple. Okay, I'm a witch. I didn't know that. Does it protect you from people or something? And then she's like, did you notice something about my front yard when you got here? I'm like, please don't tell me it's a dead body. Like, no, because she sounded that creepy. She's like, look, look, what? I got fruit trees. I'm like, okay, and I grow my own fruit. Okay, and that's what I do. I'm like, great, you're a healthy witch. And that's all she wanted me to know. She was trying to make it seem like, I'm better than you. I eat my own fruit. She's like, are you a vegetarian? No, I'm vegan. Well, we don't even need to talk about that yet. You need to talk about salvation first. But she didn't want to hear it. She was like, nope, I don't want to hear it. I'm done. We're like, no problem. Hey, it is what it is. You know, and we just walked away. But what do we see here? We're making it very clear. Hey, there's no salvation. How do you witness to a Jew? Tell him, neither is there any salvation in any other. You know, for there is none other name. I want to know how to witness to Jews. Here's what you tell him. Neither is there any salvation. Learn from Peter. There's none. They're super bold. Hey, they're not worried about anything. They're cheerful. Even when they get beat up and they get, you know, basically, physically hurt for the cause of Christ, they're rejoicing and singing. You know, they're singing at midnight and then there's an earthquake. But skip down here in 13. Let's go all the way down to 29, because 13 just makes it very clear. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, so Peter is bold, you know, with boldness comes cheerfulness. He's comforted. He's got boldness in his bones. But how does he get it? here's an example. Here's a clue of how he got how he gets it. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So what is he doing? He's praying for boldness. You're like, man, I'm a nervous wreck. What do I do? Get into God's word. Hey, I am. I'm reading it, man. It still doesn't help. Well, start praying for boldness. And God will comfort your heart with boldness. That's how he does it. You know? How were these guys able to speak so boldly to the point where they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men? They marveled. They were amazed by their boldness. And they were probably like, whoa. And other people believed. 5,000 of them, if you saw what we just read. Why? Because they got comforted by seeing their boldness. These people were like, wow, look at this. Look at these guys. Look how bold they are. They're not making any bones about it. They're making it very clear. Salvation is through Christ alone. You got your Bible? Go to Matthew 18:21. Matthew 18:21. And I'm almost done. Well, you go to Matthew 18:21. So the first thing God will do to you is give you assurance. How? Through his word. He's not going to speak to you like he spoke during Christ's baptism. Behold, this is my beloved son. That gave people boldness. That comforted people. You know? But what is Peter saying? Hey, we got more sure word of prophecies. Do you think that's good? We got something better. And that's the word. Matthew 9:36 says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14 says this, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. So how does God comfort us? One, through his word. Through boldness. He gives us the Spirit, the Comforter. That, he says, being filled with the Spirit. Hey, that gave them comfort to go do the work that they needed to do. And another way he comforts us is through his compassion. Let's take a quick look. You're right there in Matthew 18:21. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? He says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which will take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And this guy walked away happy. Now we know the story. He doesn't have compassion on somebody else. Go to verse 33. You know, and sure enough, that person that had compassion on this guy who did not have compassion on another guy that owed him money, he's rebuking this guy. He just let him go. His wife, his children were his. He was about to sell them all. This guy begged them for mercy. He says, be patient. I'll pay thee all. And he was moved with compassion. He loosed them and forgave them the entire debt. What an awesome individual. Awesome individual. Let this guy go, but he can't do the same. He can't. Look what it says. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Go to Genesis 47:1. Genesis 47:1. Well, you go to Genesis 47:1, you know, I'm just going to read from Luke 15:20. It says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I just read the story of the prodigal son. You know, he went, he sinned it up, and then he felt bad, got right, came back to the father. The father saw him a great while away, and he ran towards him and started to comfort him. Started to comfort him by forgiving him and blessing him, giving him a ring, robe, and even the fatted calf to eat well. Amen. And you know what? If we all stop and think about it, if God punished us for every little thing we did, we get discouraged, wouldn't we? That's the opposite of being comforted, is to get discouraged. You know what's the meaning of comfort? To encourage, you know, to encourage. So if you don't comfort someone, you can discourage them. you know? But he doesn't. He doesn't always punish us for everything we do. Yes, the Bible says clearly that, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. I understand that. And your sins will find you out. I believe that. But if we really stop and look at what the scripture shows us from beginning to end, he doesn't always punish us for every bad thing we do. I mean, look at this guy. He forgave him of all his debt and didn't punish him, let him go. And he says, look, I want you to do the same thing. Be merciful unto people as well. Unto the merciful, he'll show himself merciful. But one of the stories early on in my Christian life that I saw that reminded me, you know, how great God is. One of the scriptures, when I started reading it, that comforted me was in Genesis. Let's take a look really quickly in Genesis. Genesis 47:1. This is when Joseph, you know, goes to his son, or when Jacob goes to his son Joseph in Egypt, you know, because they know, they found out he's alive. He goes down there, you know, but let's take a look. There's something interesting in this chapter. And I'll point it out. It's towards the end of verse number 9. It says, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they're in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let the servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. Similar to the other story. Here God's blessing him above and beyond what he deserves. He didn't have to get the best of the land. They would have been happy just to go there and eat bread. But let's look at verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the year of my pilgrimage are 130 years. That's a long life. 130 years. That's a long time to sin. I mean, when I screw up and I feel bad, sometimes I'm like, Lord, just take me out of this planet. One less sinful person. One less person to grieve your heart. I don't know if you guys ever prayed that, but I'm just being honest with you. I screw up. I'm like, why did I say that to my wife? Why did I do it to my kids? I don't feel like I'm giving you my best, Lord. Sometimes I'm like, just pluck me out of this planet. It's like, one less person to piss you off. Kind of how I see it, you know? And you know what? Hey, the same sinful flesh that I have is the same one Jacob has, everyone has. There's no temptation that is not common to men that hasn't tempted us all. Christ was tempted in all points, yet without sin. But look at this part. He just got done saying, the years of my pilgrimage, the years of my life are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Think about that. He's looking back on his life, and he doesn't say, man, I've had a hard life. You just don't know. I had to take off. My brother was trying to kill me when I was young. You know, and then I get a job, and my uncle's ripping me off. I end up with this. He didn't complain a single thing. He said, I've lived 130 years, and boy, does life suck, Pharaoh. He doesn't even say that. 130 years, and man, I'm ready to go. I'm stressed out. You know, it's like, man, this life is going to beat you, Pharaoh. I'm just giving you some life advice, Pharaoh. I'm older than you. I'm wiser than you. Hey, brother, just be ready. Life is going to go downhill, my friend. Not going to be gravy, but hey, trust the Lord, you'll be in heaven, Pharaoh. He didn't do any of that. He was trying to comfort Pharaoh by saying, look, I'm here. You know my God. You know my story. Hey, let me tell you something. I've lived 130 years, and few and evil have been my days. Few and evil. How could you say that if you would have been punished for every little thing you've ever did? He couldn't. They'd be like, man, don't mess with the Lord. He's just unmerciful. You know, he's strict. You know, he doesn't have any patience. But that's not what the Bible says. It says it's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any shall perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I love what Pastor Amanda says. He says that we as Christians, sometimes we get confused. We get into sin, and we confuse God's patience with permission. You've heard that? You heard him say that before? That's true. We get into sin, whatever the sin may be, and because God doesn't strike you dead, the first week, second week, third week, first month or whatever, you're thinking, well, God understands. I'm just weak. You know? God understands. I'm not like Pastor Anderson. I didn't grow up with a Christian upbringing, Christian parents. You know? He's like, yeah, God knows, me and my bro, we me and my cool bro. Cool bro. They stop going to church. Nothing happens to them. Nothing severely, you know? Knocking on doors. Well, me and God, we good. You know, we good. Church is here, bro. We're having church right now, man. You know? He's like, if that works for you, that works for you. But me and God, we good, man. We good. I love God. I love God. I'm just going to keep loving God. And I told this person, well, you know what the Bible says? If you love me, what? If you love me, it says, keep my commandments. And guess what he said? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. And the person's like, I'm done. He's like, yeah, you're probably done after this. Here comes the hammer, you know? Because guess what? God is long-suffering. He'll suffer a long time with our sin, but he has to come down on us if we don't fix it ourselves. Either fix it yourself or he'll fix it for you. And when it becomes public and you're boasting and you're not ashamed of it, he'll come hard on you. And if you get to the point where you're that bad, you have to get kicked out of the church, hey, at that point, it's not going to be pretty anymore. You're going to realize it wasn't permission, it was just patience that God was exercising on your life. Amen? And so let's not forget that. And we'll be able to say the same thing. You stay with the Lord, you live to be 130, you'll be able to say the same thing. He's like, hey, kids, stick with the Lord. You know what? I'm 130 years old, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad I stuck with the Lord because few and evil have been my days. But, I mean, God forbid what would have happened to me had I gotten out of church, stopped reading my Bible, stopped following the Lord, stopped obeying his commandments. Who knows what would have happened? I'll tell you one thing that wouldn't be happening. He would not be comforting you. Life would be hard. He's the God of all comfort, but he doesn't comfort everyone, including his children. Because whom the Lord loveth, he will chastise. That's not comfort. That's pain to get you to turn. I'm going to comfort you, my son. Just want to remind you that God is the God of all comfort, but he also chastises. We'll wrap it up. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I have to talk on this really quick because I don't want people to get a mixed message. God's going to come for me no matter what. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he's the God of all comfort, but he also is the God of chastisement. But he will comfort us. How? Get into the Word. Start praying for some boldness to get you through life, to cheer you up. Old people are cheerful people, amen? They're looking at life like, I'm ready to take it by the tail. Bring it, Satan. No, we shouldn't talk like that. That's God. But when it is like, President Biden has now made it law, everybody takes the vaccine. Bring it. You know? Get into the Word. It'll give you more boldness than getting into the 10 o'clock news, the Fox News, whatever, CNN, you know? You're just reading your Bible. Brother, did you hear Biden made vaccines mandatory now? What? I'm busy, bro. I don't care about him. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, that's right.
When you're not in the Word, you're like, I know, bro. We need a letter from Pastor Anderson telling them how we're exempt religiously, man. You know, never getting all these emails. And I'm not knocking anyone who's emailed us. But let's just face it. We'll send you the letter, but the letter's not what you should be, you know, getting into right now. It should be the Word of God. Getting on God's good side. They can push a miracle, you know? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got a death sentence. And guess what? They're like, if not, I'm not saying, hey, quit your jobs if they require the vaccine. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God gave them a way of escape, and he'll give you one too. But this isn't even anything like that, just so you know. No one's threatening us with a fiery furnace. And nobody has declared a death sentence on us because we can't tell Joe Biden what his dreams mean. So let's just realize, this ain't nothing, all right? You're not going to be in a Fox's Book of Martyrs, like Pastor says, because, you know, they put a vaccine mandate in your lifetime or whatever. We're not going to take it voluntarily because, obviously, it's a hoax. If they haven't figured that out, they will sooner or later. Whatever benefits it has, it's like, come on. It's all about money. We know that. But let's take a look at more verses on comfort, and we'll wrap it up. 1 Thessalonians 4. But would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be a great, great day. This verse will give you comfort. And so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what I'm doing. And yes, we use this chapter, these verses, to help people, you know, who have lost loved ones. We remind them, you know. Recently, somebody's husband died, and they just wanted me to speak to this person. And I just told them, this is what the Bible says. And it gave them comfort. Gave them comfort. But here's the thing. I'm bringing this up not because it's like, well, duh, you know, yeah, I get it, funerals, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But also, don't forget, God gives us comfort through assurance, through boldness, through compassion. His compassion and our compassion as well. So it's like a two-part little sub-point. We're the ones that God uses to comfort people as well. Don't ever forget that. Not just when they lose a loved one, and we can use these verses to help those who have lost a loved one, but also with those who have been kicked out, and now they're back. Let's take a quick look. Just flip the page. You guys are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Next page, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Just meet me in verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says this, "For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do." We can clearly see it says, comfort yourselves. Help each other out. Comfort one another with these words. Oh, I will. As soon as somebody loses a loved one, I'm going to be ready to bust out 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to show them the scriptures. And I'm going to remind them, hey, it's not the end. You know, death is the beginning. Better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth for those that are saved. Because that's true. Death is only the beginning. And it's going to be a great thing as soon as, you know, our body, our soul leaves our body, we're going to be present with the Lord. Yes, there's going to be mourning down here, but we're going to see each other again. That's a fact. You know, but the one verse that I wanted to basically get at, you know, was in 2 Corinthians, you know, that says this. So that contrary-wise, this is talking about somebody who's been kicked out of church and now they're back. Because it happens. You know, somebody gets kicked out for whatever reason. You know, they get backslidden, bitter, whatever. You know, they may do things that gets them kicked out. Fornication, whatever the case may be. Railing accusations. You name it. I mean, the list is there. But in 2 Corinthians says this. So contrary-wise, you ought rather to forgive. Not just to forgive. And comfort. Let's not forget that part. So how does God comfort us? Through his word. His word gives us assurance. He gives us boldness when we need it. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Hey, when we're filled with him, he gives us boldness. And that makes us cheerful people. We're ready to take on the world. And how else? How else? By compassion. By God not striking us dead every time we do something. You know, he gives us a chance to get it right. And also his people. Like you already saw where it says that, hey, I brought Titus to help you guys out, to comfort you guys. But also right here it says, hey, contrary-wise, you need to not just forgive, but also comfort. Why? Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know, it's hard to come back to church. But it's going to be harder if you're like the prodigal son's brother, you know, where he's mad. He's angry. He's like, what? Everybody's happy that this dude is back. Did you guys not remember what he did? You know, it's like, no, we don't want to remember. And if he screws up again, then he gets tossed out again. Comes back again, we forgive, and we can comfort. And the reason why is because a lot of people, you know, forget that God doesn't just want you to forgive. He wants you to also comfort. Love one another. Love is an action word. Somebody once said it like this. Love is a sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of others without thought of return. I don't know how accurate that is, but it sounds pretty good. The only part I won't really agree with, thought of return. I don't necessarily think that's the case because when God gave himself sacrificially, he wanted something in return. He wanted us. He wanted us. He purchased us. It's not like he died for whatever. It says that he purchased us with his own blood. So he did sacrifice himself for our benefit. And what did he want in return? Hey, he wanted us. So in return, when we do things, hey, I do things for other people because what I want is for that person to be comforted, that person to be cheered up, that person to be blessed, that person to become the person they want to be, the person they admire, which is a strong, faithful individual. And so my job is to not just forgive. Your job is not just forgive. Your job is to forgive and help to comfort. So yes, somebody will obviously get you upset, but you have to learn to forgive, forget, and be able to comfort that individual. Because if you can't, as much as you think you are, you're not justified in God's eyes. Let me quickly read from Luke 18:10, and we'll finish up with this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off will not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that insulted himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In other words, that person thought he was good with the Lord, but he wasn't. He wasn't. Remember, the prodigal son, he said, Lord, or Father, I am sorry. I'm not even worthy to be your son. He's sincerely saying, I am sorry. People are like, well, he needs to apologize to everyone. No, because the prodigal son didn't apologize to his brother. You know, he apologized to his father. His father's like, hey, give him a robe. Start blessing and comfort this guy. Let's have a party. Let's have a meal. Somebody comes back. Hey, man, haven't seen you in a while, brother. Hey, what are you doing? Let's go get some lunch. Let's go kill the fatted calf. Why? Because you want to comfort this person. You want to cheer him up. I had somebody email the church one time, Pastor Anderson. Hey, you know what? It's been a while. I just want to let you know my life is miserable. I want to know if it's possible for me to come back. And they gave me their name. And I'm like, who is this person? I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, do we know you? Sends me a picture, and I knew exactly who it was right away. And I didn't even have to call pastor because I know him. He's not a person that just forgives. He tries to comfort people. He tries to be a peacemaker. When people are at odds, pastors, church members, you name it, he's in there always trying to be the peacemaker, always trying to comfort individuals. And he, sure enough, I know how he thinks. So what I did, I emailed him right away. Absolutely come down. He's like, trust me, pastor will be happy to see you. He's like, amen, brother. You remember me? I sure do remember you. And I wonder what happened to you. And I will pray with you more often than not. Because he was somebody who was soul winning, coming to church 3 times a week, reading his Bible, but he got into sin. He got into sin and he had to go. So he had to get kicked out. So he got kicked out. 10 years later, the guy shows up. And man, was I happy to comfort that dude. I was like, brother, good to see you for reals, man. He's like, awesome, I'm glad you came back. You know, but it was hard for him to come back. It was hard. You know, but why was it doing it? Because it says right here, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up over much sorrow. What if he did come back and everybody gave him the cold shoulder? Nobody acknowledged him. People were like, hey, you know, such is back. All right. And he kind of sees that. He'll be like, you know what? I don't belong here. And he'll leave. He'll leave because his heart deceives him. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, so what is the title of the sermon? The God of all comfort. How does God comfort us? Through his word. I'm doing it. Hey, pray for boldness. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. You know, boldness will give us comfort. Compassion, not just from God, but from each other. We can help God comfort people by helping them, by cheering them up. And God will bless you. And, of course, this verse right here motivates me not to be this Pharisee. Because I can get, I've done that when I'm looking at people like, oh, God, I'm glad I'm never like him. And I'm like, oh, man, I read this verse. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, what a dummy. I look at people like, oh, man, I'm glad I never got tattoos like this dude. I'm like, oh. Holier than thou. I'm sorry, Lord, for being holier than thou. Forgive me. I don't want to be this dude. I don't want to be this Luke 18 Pharisee. I don't. Why? Because you're not going to be right with the Lord. You're not going to be blessed. He'll give you a chance to repent, but if you don't, he's going to punish you. Even if you tithe. Even if you give 10% of everything. Even if you fast twice a week. Think about it. This dude is fasting, and God didn't accept his fast. This dude is tithing, and God didn't give he didn't care about his tithe. He didn't care. He cared about his heart. And think about that. He's like, I can forgive this person, but I gotta be okay. I understand. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but a year, 2 years? He's like, come on, bro. I can see why your life is miserable and you want to leave. I can see why you're not content. Content means happy, right? Contento? I can tell. When I say content, I'm not saying, well, I'm fine the way I am. No, I'm talking about happy. You know, I'm talking about, hey, I can tell you're not happy and you're like waiting for the perfect moment to jam out of here and get out of here, you know? Because why will God bless you with love, joy, peace, patience, meekness when you can't even bless this person? You can't even look at this guy and say, hey, I want the best for you, my friend. Because that's really what life's about. You become the best person you can so you can help other people. Remember the whole take the beam out of your eye thing? You know, so you can help your neighbor, take the mold out of his eye. So become the person that God wants you to be. So God, others become the person they want to be, that God wants them to be. That's how it all works out. Amen? So if you're not sure after this sermon, then I'll do better next time. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We ask you to bless these people, Father. Thank you for being a comforting God and helping us in times of our tribulation, temptations. And Father, I just ask that you bless this special group here that wants to do something for you, or else they wouldn't be here, Father. They would just continue to be in the world and neglect the things that you want us to do. And we ask you, Father, to just help us all and help us to be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so go ahead and pull out your hymnals. We'll sing our final song for the morning. Song number 397. 397. Little is much when God is in it. 397. You guys find your place. We'll start there on the first. Sing nice and loud. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service? Body worn from toil and care. You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and your race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. Great singing. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day.